seed. You'll hardly ever hear me preach if you'll go with me. Amen. That's Brother Eddie. I walk in, I say, Brother, they don't want to hear an old man, they want to hear you. Amen. But it really is. It's good to be here. I consider this a great honor. I don't preach much in church. But matter of fact, this is only the second time I preached in church. And probably since 1st of January, I think I did preach one Sunday, 1st of January, but I normally preach in prison. I normally preach where all the men are dressed in white and got blue stripes on their breeches. Amen. Yesterday, I had three services. We went down to Soberton, Georgia to start with, down there at Troutland County, about 12 o'clock. Then at 2 o'clock, I was over at Alamo, Georgia at Wheeler County. And then I went last night to Mount Vernon, Georgia, about 6:30 down there at Montgomery County, Georgia. God blessed us to preach yesterday. We didn't see anyone saved, but we seen a lot of men get right with God, wanting to do something for the Lord. Amen. And I tell them, just like with church, there ain't a bit of difference in our preaching. My preaching ain't a bit of difference there than it would be here.
Right.
I say, if you don't bring the lost in here, they're not going to get saved. Amen.
Right. Right.
I mean, I go down there and keep a going, don't mind doing it, not going to grumble about it, but you preach the same men over and over and over, they're saved by the grace of God, not going to do nothing but maybe encourage them a little bit about all you can do. But I have to do that. We encourage them to come in, but I appreciate being here. That seeing these children is a real blessing to me. I'm a granddaddy, amen. I enjoy children. Years ago, our pastor got up and preached a sermon one Sunday. He preached on the devils give the church a birth control pill. 9 months later, 7 children was born within 1 month. Amen. They was looking at the natural. He is a preaching about the spiritual. Amen. That's true. That's a real blessing. But tonight I want to read a verse out of Judges chapter 7. I want to read that and begin to bring you a message here. I love the book of Judges.
I do too, brother.
The last verse of the book of Judges, you're going to get the main verse for the whole book.
That's right.
There's no king in Israel, and every man done that which was right in his own eyes.
That's it.
They didn't say they done what was wrong. They said what was right in their own eyes. Sad thing was, and the tragedy of it was, is what we call right and wrong is opposite from what God calls right and wrong. Amen? I mean, that's what's wrong with that idea right there. I mean, if it was all the same, be fine. But you see the evidence of that all the way through the book of Judges.
You're right.
It's evidence because the same verse kept coming over and over and over and said the children of Israel done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen.
Right.
It was evil in the sight of God, but it was right in their eyes. Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
Over and over in the book of Judges, yeah, the same thing. Just like a merry-go-round. God blesses people. And all of a sudden, they'd get out, they'd get disobedient. They'd go to worshiping idols. Then after a while, God turned them over into bondage to one of the nations there. Then after a while, they would repent. They'd get right with God after God chastened them. And when they'd get right with God, cry out unto the Lord, God send them a judge to take care of the problem. Someone to take care of them and deliver them back out of bondage. But over and over, you see it 7 times in the book of Judges, this happened.
Right.
Now, the book of Acts talked about in chapter 13, verse 20, said there was 450 years of the judges.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you're studying, you get all the good years, the bad years, put them all together, you're like a little bit. The way you come up with 450 years, Samuel was the last of the judges. Amen.
Right.
You add his 20 years on there, and it comes out just right, 450 years.
Yes.
But you know, it's a blessing tonight to study that.
Yes,
I love every one of the judges. I do. I got my favorites, but I love every one of them.
Yes, sir.
I like Shamgar, chapter 3. Bible said that he went out there one day, he just got tired of the enemy.
Yes, sir.
They couldn't eat, they couldn't grow crop. Hey, they couldn't even go down the highways. Chapter 5 said that they had to go by the byways. They wasn't even allowed to go down the highway.
Right.
Shamgar got tarred one day and took a ox gourd. He killed 600 men with it. Amen. He said, I got tarred of it. And God led him do the job.
That's right.
Of course, everybody here loves Samson. I believe all the children know about him, don't they?
Sure.
I'm the one thing you need to think about. Well, go on. I won't get into my message. But Samson, a lot of people think about him looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Amen. Big old huge muscled up thing. But you know, really, if he looked like that, God wouldn't have got much glory out of what he done.
Right.
I believe he was Barney Fife. Amen. I believe he was a 90-pound weakling when the Spirit of God moved him, though, he is able to do something. Whose son, huh?
Right.
Hey, God's able to do that, huh? But the one I want to talk about tonight is that fellow we call Gideon. Amen. Chapter 7, where we're going to read. Gideon, what makes him so good to me, Gideon was a dirt farmer. He wasn't a trained warrior.
No, sir.
No, he wasn't a great general that God had used.
No.
Gideon was a man, hey, to start with, Gideon really was a coward. That's what he was.
Right.
He was hid over in a wine press. He was hid from the enemy. The Midianites had done put him in bondage for 7 years. He is scared to death. He had done got over there, bowed down behind the wall, working in that wine press, trying to get some food for his family.
Right.
Then over there under the oak tree stood an angel. I believe it was the Lord, amen, but it was an angel, the Bible said. And there he began to talk to him and said, now, hey, you're good, man. You're a valiant man. We want you to go. And hey, the prophet of God done warned him what was going to happen. Gideon was scared to death. Amen. Fear filled his heart. And he began to study it over. He asked for a sign. God gave him the sign. Then after a while, he went and built him an altar up there, tore down the altar of Baalor, built him another altar, stole his daddy's sacrificed it unto the Lord God. They wanted to kill him, and hey, I'm talking about it got bad. And here come again, had to have a feast. Amen.
Right.
Every time you talk about a fleece tonight, you're talking about Gideon, amen? That's what he done. He had to have assurance of that, what God wanted him to do. But he was not a trained warrior. No siree. This man went from secrecy, being a secret disciple, such a, you know, to publicly building an altar and doing something for God.
Amen.
He sent out to all the children of Israel and said, come help me. We're going to fight the Midianites.
Right?
Boy, what a crowd. But listen, let's get into this right here. Chapter 7, verse 21. I just want to read one verse right here. Then I'm going to try to bring you something from the Word of God here. Judges 7, verse 21 said, and they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Amen. That's it right there. That's all I wanted to read. You may be seated. Thank you for that. But I thought about this right here. Every man stood in his place. I will tell you, that's saying a whole lot in just a few words right there.
Yes, it is, brother.
I believe that's the secret right there to what we're going to do for God when every man stands in his own place. Well, see, we could break that verse down, kind of an introduction here, looking at it. See, this is a secret to all the success we're ever going to see right here. Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's three words in that verse that we need to consider right there. It, first of all, it said every man. Every man. See, this was not a one-man operation, no. Each soul was important right here. You know, some folks feel tonight like they don't have much to offer, so if they don't do nothing, it won't be missed. Amen. Don't believe that right there, though. I believe every one of us has got a task tonight to do. Every man needs to be faithful to the task God gives him to do. And I believe everybody's got a job, but I believe everybody's got something to say. They ought to say it. Amen. I really believe that. It's a place to feel tonight. I mean, somewhere only you can feel that. Ezekiel talked about making up that hedge. Amen. And that's exactly what we ought to do tonight. But now let's go a little farther, though. It said every man, then it said stood in his own place. Our position tonight in this world ought to be standing.
Amen.
Now, I've been pastoring probably as long as most of you preachers have been alive. Amen. I ain't just saying. I mean, I'm an old man. I have to slow down a little bit. But I've learned something. If you don't stand tonight and really stand for something, hey, you're going to stand up for everything.
Right.
Huh? You'll fall for everything in the world. You'll be standing for something that ain't worth nothing. You'll stand for God.
Right.
But the Bible said they stood. That was an attitude of being alert.
Yeah.
It was a place where you was ready to serve. I mean, hey, we'll sit down one day. When the job's done, God will let me and you sit down. But not until then, we don't need to.
Amen.
The Bible says, stand fast there in the liberty where Christ has set you free.
Yes.
Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen.
Right.
He said in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, stand. Huh? What did he say? He said, stand there. Why? He said, being, have the whole armor of God, you might be able to withstand in that evil day. Having done all, stand. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, what should I do? I said, stand.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, but really, what should I try to do? I said, stand's what you ought to try to do.
Yes.
Do everything in the world but stand.
Right.
Son. Yes, what we ought to be.
That's right.
Every man stood, but notice the other word there. In his place. His place.
Amen.
It wasn't a chosen place, it was an assigned place.
Right. Yeah.
See, something wrong today with preachers and men of God going here and yon trying to find something suits them. Amen. I mean, God's got an assigned place tonight for every one of us. We ought to be there in our place. Every one of us ought to be there. I'm going to tell you why we got so much defeat in church. Because you can't get folks to get in their place. Now let that sink in. The reason you have so much defeat in church is because folks will not get in their place. One other reason, they won't stay there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Every now and then have a good, sweet Spirit of God move, and all of a sudden altar will fill up and people just get on fire for God. In a few weeks, they're right back to say. You get them in the right place. But I mean, hey, we got to stay there tonight. If we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to stay there.
Amen.
It's kind of like a football game. Got 11 fellers on one side. Got that old pig skin full of air running up and down the field right there. But 11 of them on the field, on a team, each against each other. One man out of place, all of them gets penalized. One feller get out of place tonight and the whole team is penalized. And tonight in the house of God. You let one person get out of place tonight and everybody is penalized tonight. Amen. The whole bunch of us tonight, hey, every one of us are down tonight because one fella out of place. Amen. I'm just going to take my time and let you hear this now. See, I mean, I've seen it all through the Word of God. When Samson got out of place, he lost his strength.
Right.
He lost his sight. He lost being superior to everybody else. Why? He got out of place.
That's right.
Jonah got out of place and that ship just like to have crashed.
Right.
They picked him up and threw him overboard. You know, it hindered everything.
Right.
I mean, he had been out of place and hindered the preaching that God wanted preached.
Right.
And besides that, he spent 3 days in the darkness of a whale's belly. Amen.
Yes,
why? Because he's out of place. David was out of place.
Yes,
David was. David was out of place. He ought to have been out there fighting the battle with the children of God, but he's at home.
Right.
He's taking it easy. He's at Zion. That's what was wrong there. But David's at the wrong place.
You're right.
what happened. David caused a lot of trouble. David hurt another man's family. David tore another man's home up. That's what David done. Become ashamed of God. I thought about Peter. Peter was in the wrong place. You know what he done? He denied the Lord Jesus three times.
Right.
Why? He's in the wrong place. Amen. I'm saying tonight, if we're not in the right place tonight, we ain't going to get nothing done for God.
Amen. Amen.
Every man stood in his place around the camp. But let me show you tonight some things about that place. See, I mean, the secret to being successful is being in a place that God puts you in. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
To be there exactly where God wants you to be tonight, that's exactly where you're going to be successful.
You're right. Yes.
I'm going to tell you what kind of place it was. First of all, it was a place that faced the fight. Amen.
Right.
Amen. 21 here in 8 said, every man stood. He said, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp.
Right.
The camp was a camp of the enemy. They stood there and they was a facing a fight.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something about this here, living for God. I'm going to tell you what it's all about. It involves a program of war.
Right.
It involves tonight, me and you're in a battle tonight. Hey, all the forces of evil is out to stop me and you and to damn me and you to keep us from doing something.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
It's a program of war. And I mean, hey, we need to enlist in this thing, get serious about it, get out there and fight in the service of God.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be over until we get to glory. That's when this thing will be over.
That's right.
Boy, I'll tell you, I've been in more of a battle this year, the last couple of months, and I have the whole time I've been saved.
God bless your heart, brother.
Been saved 46 years.
Bless him, God.
Been preaching the Word of God. Been studying it 46 years, but I'm preaching a long time. Amen. Way over 31 years. Way over, probably 32 now. I'd have to take my shoes off and count. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I fought more of a battle. I've seen more happen. And I'm going to tell you what it is. The devil's making all their attempt tonight.
Right.
Try to stop God's people. Up yonder last week was having a kind of a mission conference. And I mean, the devil really gave me a hard time. I had a couple jobs I'd done, people wouldn't pay me. I mean, just everything went wrong. My wife's been real sick. I've been sick. You know, just everything wrong. I'm just going to explain something to you. Boy, it done took a toll on me the other night. I was standing out there. And that service was over with. And I was just standing out thinking, well, of course, I enjoyed the meeting, but I looked back. The devil told me, said, oh man, you might well quit. You said, oh, you just might well just stop. You ain't doing nothing for God. You ain't able to do nothing. You'll just stop. And I looked back in there and I seen Brother Duke. Excuse me, Brother Eddie. I seen him. And I seen Brother Matthew Martin standing by him. The Lord spoke to my heart, said, them little boys right there got saved when you was their pastor. Boys is a preacher, and the Word of God said, you done something right. Man, the power of God hit me, and I just said, glory, amen.
Amen.
Hey, I may be getting to the point where I'm fixing to slow down. Some of them young men are going strong. Well, excuse me, boy. Hey, I'm telling you something's real. Oh, it's a program of war. Oh, listen. I'm talking about the devil trying everything in the world that he's got. What's so sad about it, a lot of folks don't even believe he's real. Amen. I was down at prison a while back. Just let me say this and I'll get on into it. But they was talking about, I've heard some of them talk about how that they didn't believe that the devil was real. So it felt like it was just the man's nature causing to be like it was. I walked up there and I just give them, and I ain't trying to be funny, but I told them a story. I said, let me tell you a story. And after the story, we'll let someone, you know, go on with this. But I said, a lot of you kind of like that boxer said he's a boxer in a boxing match and his doctor got beat up pretty bad the first round. He come in, sat down, and the trainer come to him and said, son, said, go on back in there and get him next round. Said, he ain't even laid the glove on you. Second round, got knocked down a few times, got beat around. They drug him back over in the corner. That trainer got back out there and said, son, said, go back in there and get him the next round. I said, ain't even laid a glove on you. Third round, he went out there and they knocked him down two times to the count of nine. Hey, I mean, he is about beat to death, and they drug him back over to the corner. Sit him down there on the stand. That trainer jumped in there right quick and said, listen. I said, go back in there and get him the next round. I said, ain't even laid a glove on you.
that box and spit that old mouthpiece out and said, let me say something. I'm going back in there and I'm going to get him the next round. Said, I am. I'm going to go back and get him. But said, I want you to watch that referee because somebody's beating the devil out of me. Amen. And I said, that's exactly why you don't think the devil's real. The devil, hey, the devil will beat you to death and you don't think he's real. In that place that they stood was a place that fought a fight. Hey, there was a face in a fight. You know why? You'll never do nothing for God tonight and it'd be easy. Circumstances will never be easy tonight for you to stand and to do something for God. It'll never be easy. Never be. Oh, you have a good meeting occasionally. But this army of truth tonight's in a conflict with the forces of evil. Amen. I mean, every bit of it. Hey, there ain't no escape in this war. There ain't no, hey, if you get out of the war, now this either through disobedience or disgrace. That's right. Men say, I used to do something for God. You ain't doing it tonight. It's a disgrace. It's a big disappointment to God. I mean, hey, you look at the story right here. Hey, it's a great number of them in the valley. Look like grasshoppers. There wasn't one but 300 men out there to fight a battle. Amen. I'm talking about the enemy, though. Look at the rib. Oh, he's real. Bible said we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes,
see, I'm not a fighting against nobody. I ain't fighting no denomination.
Nope.
Right. Hey, I'm not fighting no color, no creed. I ain't a fighting none of them. Amen.
Right.
No. I go in them prisons, I just preach. It don't make no difference.
Amen.
I just preach.
Bless you, preach.
Yesterday down yonder, boy, I had about 200 in service, and I was inside of a dining hall. Didn't have no chapels inside of a dining hall. Man, they was up there. Hey, I just got up there and let it rip. Hey, it's more blacks than they was white. I just let it rip. I mean, hey, I just preached. I just let it rip anyway. They preached the Word of God.
Yeah.
Afterwards, them old black men come up there and hug my neck and just slobbering all over me and everything. And old Brother Toby was with me. He said, boy, preacher said, I believe they needed that message. I said, it'll make no difference. Hey, they can love on me if they want to. Amen. I ain't a fighting against nobody.
Right.
It don't make a bitter difference to me. I ain't a fighting against any of them.
Amen.
Them old cults and all, they just, hey, just, hey, they might find somebody else to fight with. Amen. I'm too busy trying to work for God to be a fighting with them. Amen.
Right.
I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Amen.
It's against principalities and power, the ruler of the darkness of this world.
That's right.
That's exactly what I'm against. Hey, the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yes.
Every one of us got the same enemies.
Yes, sir.
The world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yes.
Some of my members one time stood up and they was just crying three or four in a row and they said, preacher, said the devil's been on me all week long. I walked up behind the pulpit and I said, I'm sorry that he had. But I said, not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but probably y'all have never fought a battle with the devil. Because you ain't never got by the world and self yet, amen?
You're right.
Most people's battles with the world and with the self.
Yes,
hardly ever we get close enough to God to where that we're going to fight with Satan. Paul said the messenger of Satan sent the buffet me. He didn't say nothing about the devil, did he? He said the messenger of Satan. Amen.
Amen.
Paul didn't even feel like he was worthy enough opponent to fight a fight with him.
Amen.
But I'm saying that the place that we're standing now is a place that faced the fight.
Right.
Not only that, but it was a place where only a few was found. Amen.
Amen.
It started off 32,000 men. Oh, yeah. Walked out there and said, now whoever's scared, go home. 22,000 relieved men went home. Amen. Had 10,000 left there, and he said, all right. He told Gideon, said the Lord said that you've still got too many. He said, the ones with you said they still you've got too many men. He said, take them down to the river and said, there, I'm going to try them. Amen. He said, if you just go down there, I'm going to do it. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, you begin to study this and find out what happens right there. See, over in verse 3, let me go back over and read part of this here to you. No, verse 2. It said, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give thee the Midianites unto thy hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hands save me.
Yeah.
See, God knows a pattern of pride. God knows tonight what we'll do. If we're able to do the job, if we're able to do it, if we're able to do that, God ain't getting no glory out of it.
Right.
And God knew the pattern of that. Kind of reminded me of that fly one time. I read a story, an ancient story. Said there's a fly set up on the axle of a chariot going through town. Fly stood up there and put that chest out and bragging about the dust he was a stirring up. Amen. Riding on that axle of that chariot. Huh? And that's the way a lot of people are. They're riding the crowd. Hey, they're going under the blessing of somebody else doing something from God. Hey, they're doing something tonight, but they're holding on to what somebody else is doing.
Right.
I've not got very far along in this ministry. I started off years ago up on the street corners of Atlanta. Me and another young preacher, we just go up there. No, nobody else left preaching church. We just go up there. Where Bankhead come out on the Marietta Street, we just stand right there and we just preach. We wanted to go uptown, be an uptown preacher. See, that's kind of suburbs. So what we done, we went up where Plaza Park was. That's where the entrance to Underground Atlanta is now, but it used to be Plaza Park. Hey, that's where everybody hung out on Sunday. We'd stand up on the seats there and preach the Word of God to them. Amen. That's where it started at. But now then, in all these years I've been a preacher, you know why right now? I'm in prison. I've really moved up, ain't I? But what I've found, though, there's only a few wanting to do the job. There's only a few. Hey, they want to be a part of something that's big, but they don't want to do no part of it. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's where they're at. I mean, God only had a few. But I want to ask you something. Have you ever heard God complain he didn't have enough? Now think about it. Has God ever said, I just couldn't give enough victory. I couldn't give the victory. I didn't have enough men to help me.
Amen.
Has God ever said, I needed more natural help to do a divine thing? Have you ever heard that? Has God ever said, my power ain't strong enough because I ain't got enough human help? Have you ever heard that?
Yes,
he said, no. Where two or three of you gathered together in my name, said, I'll be there. Amen.
Amen.
I'll just be in the midst of them. Hey, he went ahead and promised if one of us would go after the enemy, we could chase 1,000.
Yes,
but he said if two of us not, we'd chase 10,000 of them. Amen. Oh, yeah. See, I'm going to tell you something. God never said he didn't have enough.
That's right.
Tonight, it ain't how big I am. It's how big God is.
Yes.
It's not how much I know. It's how much God knows.
Right.
It don't make a bit of difference now who I am. It's what God is. Amen. It don't make a bit of difference what I have tonight to give. It's what God has tonight.
Amen.
See, this job I'm doing, it's God's job.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I don't know how many vehicles we done wore out going up down the road doing what we're doing. And every now and then some of them get kind of talking discouraged about it. I said, hey, we got to ride today. And that's all we needed. See, I made it yesterday, no problem. Huh? 445 miles, 3 services. I've got to do this while I'm young. I'm going to get too old one day to do this. Amen. But I had a way down there. I had gas and come back. I'm not a bit worried about what I'm going to do next Saturday. I ain't a bit worried. Because between now and then, if God decides I'm going to go somewhere, He just gave me a way to go.
You're right.
I'm never worried about that. You know what most folks do? This is what bothers me. They feel led of God to do a ministry, and the first thing they'll do is go tell everybody in the world, hey, I feel led to do this. And they'll get everybody to give them up some support, and everybody help them, and then they'll decide to go.
Yes, sir.
I started in prison ministry 25 years ago. I've never asked for a penny. See, what I've done, I felt led to do it. I just went ahead and started.
That's right.
And hey, how have I made it? Just God supplied the need. I've never went on deportation. I have never one time went on debit. I have never one time done that. I just done the job. While others out there trying to get started, I've just been doing it. Hey, why they out there bragging about what they gonna do, I'm just doing it. Amen. Hey, that's the difference in it. Hey, still not out there to be doing it. Huh? 32,000 started and got down to 300. I like the way God done it, though. Said, take him down to water. Said, I'm going to try him. What he done, he told him, he said, watch him. Now, God got water. See, some of them got down on the knees to drink water. Oh, yeah, they got down on the knees and they got their mouth down there and they was licking the water. But some of them just reached over. The Bible said with a hand, didn't say two hands, said one hand. Took the water like this and they. Give me them 300 men that's standing there lapping water out of their hand. Give me them.
Right.
300 out of 32,000. Didn't have no trained warrior to lead him. Oh, no, he's a dirt farmer. Here he is, a dirt farmer. 300 men. And boy, what's so sad about this? They didn't even have a weapon. Amen.
Right.
We'll get on in it, but they didn't even have a weapon. It was a place here that faced the fight. It was a place where few was found. And it was a place that was fortified by fear. I said a while ago that he said, if you're scared, go home. 22,000 relieved men went to the house. Amen.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people tonight never stand where God wants them to stand because they're scared.
Right.
Fear tonight, when you got fear tonight, that's faith in Satan. Amen.
Amen.
See, what fear do now? Fear is a mind that's subtracting what God wants to add. Amen. That's what fear is. See, fear tonight is blind shutting out what God wants us to see.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Fear tonight is ignorant, refusing to learn what God wants me and you to learn. That's what fear is.
Right.
Fear's deaf tonight. It's unable to hear what God wants us to hear tonight. That's what it is.
Right.
Fear is a sin because it refuses to believe what God's promised me and you. Amen.
Amen.
Like what Paul said that God not give me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Yeah.
John, an old man, when he wrote the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he said that there's no fear in love.
Right.
He said perfect love casts out all fear.
Right.
He said if you have fear, said fear's got torment, but said he said he that's made perfect in love got no fear. Got no fear tonight. I'm going to tell you what folks is afraid of. I mean, hey, they scared to death. Let me tell you this and I get on in. I'm having trouble just getting my mind focused here. But see what happened? I've had men worry me to death about going to prison. Back before we had to go to all this old going to school and all that old stuff, you could just take anybody, just call and tell them it's coming. But I took them down there in the van and boy, they just on fire. You know, it just sounds so good. You're going to go in there and preach to 200 or 300 inmates. Boy, you're just going to go in there and just do something. We'll get there and we'll open the van door to go in and they sit there trembling. Preach, I can't go in. I can't go in there. I've done that. Go in. I mean, I see them do that. I go in there and say, we got to leave some of them sitting in the van. So there's going to be some men sitting in the van. They ain't going to come in. You have to get special permission to sit in the van in the parking lot. Going home, they say, boy, I wish they went in. I said, listen, everything you do for... Hey, the devil make you scared.
You're right.
Hey, the devil make you feel tonight like nobody loves you. I tell you, the devil do that to you.
You're right. Yeah.
I thought about here. I'm going to tell you what most people are scared of. They're scared of what people think about them. They're scared tonight of what folks might say about them. Either what to think or what to say. See, this world, listen, this world tonight, if a billionaire decided tonight he wants to save the whales, and he spends billions of dollars on saving the whales, this world we're in tonight will pat him on the back. And they say, boy, he's such a good man.
Sure.
Said, oh, he's got such a desire, such a good heart. And all of a sudden, you let a man sell out for God, give it all to God, and go to work for God. They say, Lord, he's beside himself.
Right.
Said, he's a fanatic. He's an extreme. Yes. He said, hey, he got to quit. He's a fanatic. Amen.
Right.
Remember years ago, I had a good business. Had 60 painters and 25 sheetrock men work for me. Had 85 people. We turned $2 million in 1983. Had a pretty good business. I was doing pretty good. My wife would want a car. Just go buy one. Pay cash. Oh, yeah. Yeah, see? Everybody thought, boy, that's a good man right there. Got all that money. He's a giving so much, doing so much. God spoke to my heart, though, in 1984. Said, quit. Woman told my wife, I said, the Lord sent me to quit. Cried around there for a few days. Said, what are we going to do? said, you ain't got no income if you quit that business. I said, don't make no difference. And I'm going to tell you, I fought it for a week or so. Finally, one Friday, I went down there with my brother younger than me was my partner. I told him, I said, you can have it all. We had 15 trucks. I said, you can have all of them. They were $76,000 in the company account at that time and had a bunch owed to it. I said, you can have all the money. He looked up. I said, you can have everything. All I want you to do is take my name off of where I don't have to worry about paying anything later. Just, you can have it. Brother went to crying because he's a preacher. He's a good preacher himself. He said, brother said, what are you going to do? I said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be right with God in it. He said, well, how are you going to make a living? I said, don't. I'm not a word about making a living. I've got to make a way for that.
Right.
I was pastoring a little old church in Villa Rica. I just went over every day, got there at 7 o'clock in the morning, studied the Bible till lunchtime, go eat, come back, studied the dark. I do that all week long. Saturday, I'd go over and stay all day long on Saturday. Get up on Sunday and just preach to that people. Just preach. You know what? Me and my wife's made it better since I went out of business than we did when I was in business.
Bless him, Lord.
I ain't a hurting for nothing. Amen.
Bless him, God.
I'm a telling you tonight. Fear's what stops us from doing something for God. Fear's what does it.
Amen.
A lot of people scared of the sacrifice.
You're right. Yes.
They're scared to death that they're going to have to give something or be a part of something. Hey, they're scared of that.
Right.
They're so scared tonight that the sacrifice is going to be so great they ain't going to have a nest egg or something.
Right.
Boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't worry about that because I know how it is to be in the world. I know people that spent one night, more money one night doing something for Satan. They ended up giving a whole year to church.
Amen.
This place they stood, face to fight, few was found, fortified by fear. And it was a place that frailty was featured. Yeah. See, verse 16 here. It said right here, he put a trumpet in every man's hand. Uh-huh. And he said, with an empty pitcher and a lamp within the pitcher. Boy, if that ain't frailty. These 300 men fixing to fight a battle with them that look like grasshoppers. They're going to fight a battle. Didn't even have a weapon. They had a trumpet. They had a lamp and had a pitcher over the lamp. That's all they had. Boy, you talking about frailty.
That's right.
300 men. Boy, Gideon began to say, now, hey, I'm going to put y'all out here. Going to put 100. Going to have 3 companies, 100 to each. And said, y'all just do what I do. You just watch me. Whatever I do, you do what I do. Everything be fine. But see, this frailty and all this attack was based on weakness. Now you think about what these men are doing here. Not only was what they was using was frail. Not only was that, but it was broken.
Right.
See, they had to break the pitcher when they got ready to fight. Hey, it wasn't just frail. It was broken.
Right.
But you know what? God's never used anything that He ain't broken.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And God ain't never broken nothing He ain't used. Amen.
Yes.
See, tonight, a lot of folks reason they never do nothing for God, they never get broken.
Right. Right.
We were somewhere the other day at church, and this young man standing up, and I could just tell the air about him, and me and my wife was visiting. And I mean, hey, he's, you know what I'm talking about? He's kind of lofty. Somebody told me, said, boy, you ought to hear him preach. Said, he's pretty good. And I said, yeah, I believe one day when he gets broken, he'll probably do something for God.
Bless him, Lord.
And then people looked at me like I was crazy. What? I said, what happens? He ain't never been broken. What's wrong with it? A man broken, he ain't so high and lifted up. He ain't so lofty.
Amen.
Hey, when God gets through a break in a man, it almost is hard. He realizes he can't do nothing without God.
Amen.
He realizes that God takes the foolish thing to confound the wise. God takes weak thing to confound the mighty. God takes base thing, things which are not, to confound that which is. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
I mean broken. The Bible talked about in Psalm 51 verse 17 said the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. See, God tonight wants me and you to be broken.
That's
That's right.
And really what this is showing us is that all through the Word of God.
Right.
Everything about mine in your life, and that's got something to do with things being broken in our life.
That's right.
You ain't never going to have a foundation till rocks get broke up. Hey, broken clouds send the rain. Amen. All through the Word of God, you just keep looking. I think about old Mary and that broken asbestos box.
Right.
I think about them broken pieces of that ship that Paul and them floated back into land and was safe on. Amen.
Right.
I thought about how the young man's broken lunch fed them 5,000 men beside women and children. Yes. Had 12 basketfuls left over. Amen. It's broken.
Yes.
I'm a saying what God tonight uses, He breaks. You talking about frailty. Gideon had already looked for a sign. God gave it to him in chapter 6. He looked for a sign in the fleece and God gave him that. He's still kind of concerned. God told him, said, go down there and said, I want you to just go beside the tent and listen. And one of them began to tell a dream. He dreamed that there was a barley cake come rolling down into the camp and overturned the tent.
That's right.
His fellow soldier beside him said, that ain't a thing in the world, but Gideon and his sword.
Right.
Gideon was standing outside the tent and heard that. You know what he probably done? Woo! Amen. He was ready. Why? Frailty.
Hey.
Them old barley cakes. Amen. You know what that is, really, if you study about it? It's something limp and it's weak, but it's like a barley biscuit. Barley biscuit ain't going to do much fighting, is it? But if it's God a throwing them, does good. Amen.
Right.
Huh? If God's a throwing them old barley cakes, do pretty good. That's what happened. I seen a storm one time back in the 60s. I'd done some work down in Forest Park, and there's a big storm had come through over the weekend. Went back down there on Monday, and there was some pine straw that was stuck halfway through a picture window of a living room. Just like it was stuck in it. Pine straw. I'm talking about a piece of glass, pine straw was sticking half in, half out. Now that pine straw was not strong enough to pierce no window glass. But the force behind of it was. Amen?
Right. Yes. Yes.
Men say they seen candles shot out of rifles that would go through a wall. That candle ain't what done it. It was that force that was behind it done it. Amen?
Right.
In the night, that's what God's wanting. See, God couldn't get no glory out of me and you if we was men, a mighty man, a noble man, a wise man. God wouldn't get no, He wouldn't get a bit of glory out of that. Oh, no, God took foolish things. God took weak things. That's what God's done.
Right.
About 10 years ago when I had open heart surgery, the doctor told me, he said, you ain't going to be able to do much now. You got to quit. You got to slow down. You got to take it easy. He said, I believe you'll have a few more good years, but you got to take it easy if you do. A month or two, I got serious about the prison ministry. I went full time in it. Pastored a church, went to prison every time I went, besides Sunday now, because I was pastoring. I've done it. I've been doing it ever since. I go 7 days a week. When I get home at night, I take the Word of God. I study the Word of God. I get up in the morning, I study the Word of God. I do what I got to do to make a living, and I'm still preaching the Word of God.
Right. Yes.
Why? Because God gets glory out of it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, if I'm still a young man and still just full of vigor, hey, God wouldn't get much glory out of that. But I'm able to do it. I went to the heart doctor a while back and he said, well, I'll give you a lot of good years. And I said, no, Dr. Warner. I said, no, God's given me the good years.
Right.
I said, I appreciate your concern, appreciate your help, but God's done it. My heart rate's about 47 out of average. And probably when I'm preaching, it probably gets up around 50. Normal man's about 60, 65. Blood pressure's about 100 over 50 on a good day. That's how high it gets. Real weak. Doctor says, how do you do it? I said, I do what God wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do.
Bless you, God.
Frailty. I'm trying to show you tonight the place God wanted them to stand was a place where frailty was featured.
Right.
One other thing in our clothes. But that place they stood at was fortified by faith. Amen. But when I look at the last part of verse 20 right there, and the Bible said here, and they cried in the sword of the Lord. They cried the sword of the Lord in the sword of Gideon. What won the victory? How would you like been out there in that darkness And here was you was with 300 men, not a weapon among you, didn't have nothing in the world to fight with. You had a trumpet in one hand. You had a light, a pitcher in one hand, and you had a lamp under it. And all of a sudden, Gideon broke that pitcher. When he did, everybody broke that pitcher. And the light shined, and they hollered and said, "The sword of the Lord." And the sword of Gideon. All 300 men at one time. And you know what happened? The Bible said that the Midianites got up and grew their sword and killed each other.
Right.
What the Bible said, they slew each other. It scared them to death. All that light around the camp, everybody was in their place. And they seen that and they killed each other.
Right.
And they chased them there. But they had faith. Boy, don't you know it took faith. Stand out there in that darkness. Nothing to fight with. And all that, the Bible said, like grasshoppers. So for multitude. It said the camels couldn't even be multitude. It said in verse 12. It said the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number. Amen. There in verse 12. How would you like to be in there? And it wasn't but 300 of you didn't even have a weapon. But the Bible said here, they done it.
Right.
And all the enemy run from our, hey, they won the victory there. I'm going to tell you how they done it. This because it was fortified by faith. They saw the invisible. They heard the inaudible. Amen. They believed the incredible and they attempted the impossible.
Amen.
That's exactly what they done right here. Fortified by faith. Why? Because they stood where God said to stand. That's how they done that. In the night, listen, me and you can have just as much of victory for God. If we're just stand where God says stand tonight, we can do the same thing. I said at the beginning of this, getting people to stand where they ought to be is the big job. And then second is getting them to stay there. Amen.
That's right.
I've done been through enough of the pasture and I know what I'm talking about. You let a few people just get out of place, pasturing gets hard and God can't get no glory. Amen.
Right.
Not if every one of us get in the altar and say, "Now God, show me where you want me to be. Give me the grace to get right there where you want me to be." And God will do it. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's able and God will do exactly what He wants to do in your life if you just make yourself available. See, we only as valuable to God as long as we're available to God. That's all we are. You take a man that's useless tonight. A man ain't no good for nothing. Somebody's not available.
Right.
I've had men in my church before. I'd want to go visit and I'd try to call some people because there'd be a woman I was going to go see. And everyone would say, "Preacher, if you'd let me know that at the beginning of the week, I could have planned it. Or, preacher, if you'd let me know Sunday, I might have made other arrangements for it." Amen. I'm saying, and that's the way it is tonight. In people's life, hey, they ain't got time to do much for God.
Right.
But tonight, if we'll get serious and get where God wants us to be, And just get ready and do a job for God. I guarantee you we'll be successful in what God wants. Gideon won this battle. He won the battle. Impossible odds, but he won the battle. That's the message tonight God's laid on my heart. Amen. I asked you tonight, I was asking, well, if you would just get me a verse of song, I'd like to give an invitation if you don't mind. Everybody to stand, give you opportunity tonight, if you feel like God spoke to your heart or anything at all, wish you'd come pray. I wished you would. Wish you'd do business with God tonight. Wished you would. God wants us all to stand in our place. Just stand where He wants us to stand. That's all. That's all God wants. God wants a willing vessel tonight. One empty He can fill. That's what God wants. If you need to pray, would you come while we sing?
Yes, Lord.
Would you come tonight?